Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're in the right place at the right time. Amen. I said, we're in the right place at the right time. I got so happy there a few minutes ago when we were singing, He'll Do It Again, because I think I sang that here probably about 27 years ago. You know, probably close to that anyway, shortly after you all got into this building and Brother Hagen came. And we traveled with Brother Hagen's ministry for many years, and the Ramah Singers and Band here all set up, and I remember singing that song here and ministering, laying on of hands here. Brother Hagen many times would lay his hands in my hands and tell me then to go and minister to the sick. I remember doing that in this very place. Round and round and round we went. Praise the Lord. It never stopped. Seemed like it just never stopped. We just kept going around in circles and ministering God's healing power. Amen. Had some wonderful times in this building in the presence of the Lord. I know you've had a lot more times than I've had here, but we've had some very significant times here in His presence. And so it's just a joy for us as we grow in the Lord and grow in our calling and grow in our ministry to be able to come back here. Amen. And to be able to bring our supply of the Spirit as well. After we left Brother Hagen's ministry and went into our own ministry, we came and attended one of the meetings here that Brother Hagen had, one of his All Faiths Crusades. And we came and I remember we were sitting right here in this third row. It was our first night of that crusade. I think it had been going a couple of days before we got here. And us having traveled with Brother Hagen's ministry for so long, you know, we were accustomed to just, you know, the Holy Spirit moving, and we just enjoyed His presence so much. And we came into that service that night, and to be honest with you, it was a little stuffy. It was just one of those days, you know. It was just a little stuffy. I don't know, just a little stiff. Maybe people had gone through stuff that day, or they just were kind of tired maybe, you know, you never know. So we're sitting there on the third row right here, and nothing was really, you know, out there happening. The Ramah Singers and Band were leading in praise and worship and special music, and all of a sudden, the Lord said to Kevin, He said, get up and run. Well, there was no running music going on. Nothing was happening, you know, and Kevin's thinking, I can't do that. I'm at Redeeming Love Christian Center. You know, and besides that, we were hemmed in a little bit on that third row and you know, people around us, and it wasn't easy to get out. And the Lord said to Kevin, run. And Kevin's thinking, Lord, it's not going that way. You know, it's not going that way. And the Lord said, if you don't run, others won't. Well, that was all it took. Kevin, right here at Redeeming Love Christian Center, jumped over the pews. Jumped right over, and you ran up this aisle, or ran up over there, ran across here. We're visiting. So you remember that? Somebody said, I remember that. He ran across there, and he wasn't the only one. Praise the Lord. Something broke loose that night. Praise God. Amen. We all have a supply of the Spirit. Amen. We all bring something. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 14th chapter. How is it, brethren, when you come together? Every one of you has something. Amen. We all have something to give. We don't come just to watch the show. Amen. But you have come tonight and you have brought a supply of the Spirit. Brother David has brought a supply of the Spirit. We have brought a supply of the Spirit. Your pastors, you have brought. Because you're here tonight, God is moving. Amen. I said, because you're here tonight, God is moving. Praise the Lord. And so, God's plans and God's purposes for our lives. Like I said earlier, there are times when it seems like it doesn't look like what we thought it would look like. Anybody been there besides me? Lord, this isn't the way I thought it would look. This isn't what I thought. But do you know that no matter what, no matter how you thought it might look or what you thought He might say, it always comes back to it is exactly what He said. exactly what he said. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so we're all walking in the plan of God. Do you remember? I like that you're playing. Keep playing if you don't mind. We'll just flow with the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen.
Glory.
That's what we're here for.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. But you remember when the Lord, after his resurrection, you know, Peter denied that he knew Jesus. Remember? Well, let me go back before that. When the Lord told Peter that he would deny him. Remember, Peter said, Lord, I'll go to the ends of the earth with you. And he said, well, actually, before this night is over, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny you know me three times. The Lord had told Peter, the Lord, he said, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Amen. You imagine hearing that, if you were Peter, hearing that. What? Satan has desired to have me, to sift me as wheat, but you prayed for me that my faith would fail not. And then we get into the whole situation when Jesus was betrayed. Peter denied he knew him three times. You can imagine Peter thinking, wait a second. Is this irrevocable? Have I done the worst thing? Is it ever going to change? But wait, God said, Jesus said he prayed for me that my faith would fail not. Jesus had gone on to say, and when you're converted, right? Strengthen your brothers. Praise the Lord. So somehow he didn't know how, and now he's in the middle. He's denied he knows Jesus. Something on the inside of him is tearing him apart. What have I done? What have I done? This doesn't look the way I thought it would look. But when Jesus was resurrected, hallelujah, and he appeared unto them again, he said to Peter, do you love me? Gave him an opportunity, didn't he? Gave him an opportunity to say, yes, Lord, I do. And I even like, and you've probably, you know, heard this preached as well, that Jesus said it three times. Amen. And it'll leave no question in Peter's mind. We've fixed it. We've taken care of it. It all is good. Right? But then Jesus said this, Peter, when you're old, he said, there's going to be a time when people lead you around and take you places you don't want to go. Right? You remember? John chapter 21, I believe it is. He said, they're going to lead you around and when you're old. And the Bible says that he was talking about the kind of death that would glorify God. So he's talking even about his death. Peter's still a young man. Well, not too many days later, Peter was put in prison. Right? And the Bible says that he was to be executed the very next day. And he's in the innermost prison between soldiers, right? And the Bible says, Acts chapter 12, the Bible says that Peter was asleep between those men. He's going to be executed the next day. How can you sleep? Before that, some of you can't sleep knowing you've got an appointment the next day. What are we going to do? Got to meet with the banker. Got to meet with the lawyer. What are we going to do? And thinking about it all night. Peter slept. So soundly, as a matter of fact, that when his deliverance came, an angel came in that prison that night and had to kick him to wake him up. Woke him up, got him out of there, right? But why was Peter so peaceful? Thinking, you know, they said he was going to be executed the next day. He had a word from the Lord. You're going to be old when you die. You're going to be old when you die. And I can imagine Peter in prison going, this doesn't look the way I thought it would look. But I'm not old yet. Right? He didn't give up. How many of us give up thinking, this isn't the way I thought? I must have misunderstood. I don't know what he said. But Peter said, nope, I'm not old yet. I'm not dying tomorrow. I don't know how he's getting me out of this, but I'm not dying tomorrow. I'm not going anywhere. I have a word from the Lord. Do you have a word from the Lord? Glory to God. So when it doesn't look the way you thought that word would look, It still is the word you hang on to. I have a word from God. The Bible says in Psalms, with a long life will I satisfy you. Take that word. Amen. And when symptoms come, you say, well, it doesn't look like the way I thought it would look, but I have a word from the Lord. I have a word from the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Maybe there are things that God has spoken to your heart over the years about things that He wants you to do, wants to accomplish through you. I know there are many words that have been spoken over this church and over this ministry. We were talking about some of them this morning. Some of the things that have yet to be seen. Yet there's an awesome scripture on that wall out there. Amen. I said there's an awesome scripture out there on that wall. I told Pastor Sarah this morning, every time I see that scripture in Habakkuk, I can't read it without hearing her voice. I've heard her tell the testimony so many times of how God brought this building to this ministry. Amen. And I've heard her tell that testimony. Brother Hagin would have her come and tell it so many times in different crusades that they would come to. And so every time I hear that scripture, I hear it with Pastor Sarah's voice. The vision is yet for an appointed time. Isn't that right? Though it tarry, wait for it. It will not tarry, but it will surely, surely. Amen. So these are words that we hang on to. We do not let them go. Amen. Hallelujah. Time is not an issue with God. Time does not bother Him in the least. Amen? We have pressure with time. We think because a certain amount of time has passed, perhaps that word is now expired. And a certain amount of time that we think, well, is a reasonable amount of time for that thing to have come to pass. And it hasn't yet, so therefore, I'm done. But a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as a day. What is that to the Lord? Everything that He has said is still alive. It's in a seed form. Amen. And it's growing somewhere. Whether under the ground or above the ground, it's growing. Whether roots are going deep. Amen. We were ministering. I was ministering up in the state of Oregon. And I was traveling with these pastors. We had taken a little trip one day. We had a day off, taking a little trip over to the coast of Oregon, beautiful Pacific coast. And on our way there on the road, we saw all these forests. And some of them, you know, were just cut down, just completely cut down. I said, they cut that whole thing down? He said, yeah, they cut the whole deal, cut the whole thing down for timber. And he said, because they know, you know, they've already planted. Right? They're willing to wait 20 years for a crop. 20 years for a tree, for lumber. They don't have a problem with it. They're not looking at that sapling going, man, it's just taking too long. Right? Because the things that are required, you know, we when we think sometimes in terms of our own seed, Jesus said, we said it this morning, the sower sows the word. Amen. Everything is a seed. He said, if you understand this parable, you'll understand the kingdom of God. So everything is a seed. And so some seed, when we think about seed, a lot of times we're limiting ourselves to thinking garden, right? Like vegetables. You're going to plant it, and in a matter of a few weeks or a few months, you're going to be able to eat the fruit of it. But there are also some things that take 20 years to develop. When we were passing those forests, I said to that pastor, I said, I've got some 20-year crops coming.
Amen.
I've got some 20-year crops coming. Amen. Those trees take a little bit longer to grow, but those are the things then that we build with. You don't build with celery. You don't build a house with celery stalks. You build a house with wood, right? With strong trees and strong lumber. That takes time to grow before you harvest it. So when we get in our minds, you know, God gave us a word, you know, it's like tomatoes. I should see it by, you know, few months. When all God said is, you're going to see it. You'll see it. When it's time, you'll see it. Hallelujah. Amen. I was 5 years old when I had my first experience with God. 5 years old. Micah's age, right? 5 years old. When I had my first experience with God, I was in kindergarten. And my older brother and sister were in school ahead of me, and I was the last one at home. And so I was in kindergarten, go to kindergarten in the morning, come home in the afternoon, have lunch with my mom, take my nap, you know, in the afternoon. My mom would watch soap operas. We weren't born again. But I remember taking my nap, and either in my nap as a dream or just after my nap as a vision I had when I was 5 years old, not even born again yet. We were Lutheran. We didn't know about the things of God. Didn't know about the real and the reality of God, really. And I woke up, or I had a dream, one or the other. And I saw, or had a vision, really. I had a vision, and I saw a lady singing. I saw her. I heard her voice. And then another voice came to me, which somehow I just knew was God, and said, "That's you when you're older." He said, "But you can't sound like that right now because you're just a little girl." So, I mean, I heard a lady singing. And I knew it was God. He says, "But I've given you a voice." That's all I remember, giving you a voice. Well, I didn't know what that meant. But something on the inside of that little girl knew it was God. And I never forgot it. Never forgot it. Heard that voice, and in me was born a desire to sing, which really led me in the direction and in the path of God for my life. Singing was always something a part of me. Even my kindergarten teacher said, "Annie loves to entertain all the other little children by making up songs." So I would sing all the time, sing myself to sleep, drove my sister crazy. Sing, 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 sing. Junior high school plays and musicals and all that kind of thing. But I got born again at the age of 9. My family, we all got born again around 1970, 1971. Charismatic move. And we were all born again and began to serve the Lord and got filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And then through school and those kind of things, I would sing. And something always on the inside of me heard that other voice. And I wasn't satisfied because I didn't sound like what I heard when I was 5. But it led me, like I said, in the direction of the Lord. After high school, joined a traveling music ministry. That's where I met Kevin. We traveled together in this Christian music ministry. We got married, and then we went to attend Rhema in Tulsa. And were privileged then, of course, to minister with Brother Hagin's ministry and became part of his Rhema Singers and Band. Eventually, actually, was the vocal director of the group, and Kevin was the band director for the group. And so we had, you know, a good influence there, and led worship and worshiped with Brother Hagin and you know, ministered with him. But all that time, there was that something on the inside. We were in a crusade in Chicago when I was 25 years old. We were in a crusade in Chicago, and I was up leading the songs in a morning service, and I saw what I saw when I was 5. See, God's not pressured by time. He showed me, I saw the very thing, same dress, same sound, 5, 25. I got a 20-year crop. A tree was built. A tree was grown, actually, in those 20 years. And I look back and I think, you know, I got to thinking about it. The Lord connected me with Brother Hagin when I was 5. Because what he showed me was not just an idea, but an event in my future. Are you with me?
Yeah.
When he shows us things to come, because Jesus said in John's Gospel, the 16th chapter, I still have many things to say to you. Everybody say many things. I still have many things to say to you. He said, but you can't bear it right now because why? They weren't filled with the Holy Spirit yet. But he said, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, right? He will not speak of himself, but what he hears, he will speak. Amen. And he will show you things to come. Everybody say, he'll show me things to come. So when God shows you things to come, it's not just even a suggestion of what would be good for you. When he shows you things to come, you see, he inhabits eternity. He's already in your future. So when he shows you something, it's not some ethereal idea. It's an event in your future. Are you following me? Let's take spiritual ears. Is that all right? Luke chapter 6, he said, give and it'll be given back to you, right? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Well, we get all excited about that scripture. And we think, what a wonderful promise of God. But if you think about it, he's showing you an event in his heart for you. Give, and it'll be given back. Why? He's already on the other side giving it back. Because he's not inhibited by time. He's already there. Do you see? We claim the promise. Give and it'll be given back to you. Like as if it's something to stretch for. Oh, I just got to believe if I give, it'll be given back. When we realize that God's already given it back to us, it's no problem to give. Why? We have a word. We have a word from God. Amen. Might be a 10-year crop, might be a 20-year crop, might be a 20-minute crop. He is able, isn't he, to make that come to pass. Hallelujah. The vision is yet for an appointed time. But there is an appointed time. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. So, I got another 20-year crop here recently. I was in my office one day at Kenneth Hagin Ministries, and Brother Hagin came into my office. Now, he didn't ordinarily do that, but he came into my office one day, and we had just come back from a trip where we were out in Los Angeles at Dr. Price's church with the Crusade team. And there at Dr. Price's church, I was doing what I normally do for Brother Hagin. You know, I'm helping him with the service and doing some announcements and leading worship and the different things and helping him with the healing line. And so one morning in a morning service, I was closing out the service, you know, and letting people know that we had healing line cards. Some of you remember in those crusades, you know, we had a card if you wanted to get in the healing line so we could keep good order. And we could give people, you know, a book on how to keep their healing. And so I was telling everybody about the healing line cards. And I said, just like that woman with the issue of blood, you get that healing card and you just say, when hands are laid on me, I know I shall be whole. And I was exhorting the people, you know, and getting them ready to receive. And Brother Hagin, normally when I was closing a morning service, he would kind of slip off the platform and head out. And he was standing right over there by his chair. And I'm seeing him out of the corner of my eye. He's not leaving. So I thought, well, maybe this is one of these days. He sometimes would shake hands with people after a morning service if he had some time. So I thought, perhaps he wanted to do that. So I finished my remarks, and I turned to Brother Hagin. I said, would you like to say anything else? He said, no, go ahead and close. So I closed, but he just stayed there. He never did that. So everybody, you know, is dismissed. They're on their way out. I go and put my microphone back in the stand, and Brother Hagin just walks over to me. And he said this. He goes, she didn't say that. And I said, I'm sorry, what? He said, the woman with the issue of blood, she didn't say, I know I shall be whole. She said, I shall be whole. He said, always keep it present tense. And I thought to myself, I just told a couple of thousand people to put off their healing. He didn't correct me in front of everybody. He just told me. I thought about that and I thought, boy, I have a lot to learn. And so we returned from that trip. I'm in my office. Brother Hagin came into my office. This is just right after that trip. Came in my office and he just sat down. Didn't say anything. Just sat down. I thought, somebody's got to start this conversation. And so I said, Dad, I said, thank you for correcting me at Brother Price's. Thank you for correcting me. I needed to hear that. And he said, yeah, yeah. And I said, is there anything else stupid I've been doing? He said, nope, that was it. That was it. And then he said this. He said, you know, as a matter of fact, he said, you do a good job for me. Ah, bless me. He said, you do a good job for me. He said, you don't call attention to yourself. He said, this is my ministry, and you do a really good job of setting things up, and that you don't call attention to yourself. He said, that's good. I said, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And he said, you know, and then he began to talk to me about what he really came in there for. He said, you know, God has always, since the turn of the century in the church, since the turn of the century, has always had an outstanding woman evangelist to demonstrate that he not only uses men, but he uses women. And he said, you know, Marie Woodworth Eder, Amy Semple McPherson, Catherine Coleman, and such along those lines, you know. He said, you know, it's about time for another one. He said, just might be you. And I thought, wow. And I thought about that. I pondered it in my heart, you know. Didn't tell anybody what he said. Didn't tell my husband. Didn't tell anybody. I just kept it in my heart. Well, we left Brother Hagin's ministry a year after. That was 1991. We left in 1992. And I went into our own ministry, traveled, you know, around, began to preach and to minister. And really at that time, Kevin was doing most of the teaching and the preaching. And I really wasn't ministering that much. And I would sometimes in the nighttime just kind of, I'd wonder about that healing anointing. We'd be in services and the healing anointing would be in my hands. And I'd think, Lord, what am I supposed to do with this? I know what Brother Hagin said, but I don't know. What am I supposed to do? You know? Not realizing that those roots were going in. Right? Roots are, if it's not growing above the ground, it's growing below the ground. So I'm just asking the Lord about it. So we went to one of his first Holy Ghost meeting in 1994 in Miami, Florida. And we went to that Holy Ghost meeting, and Brother Hagin, I, on the way to that meeting, I thought in my heart, I said, I gotta hear from God. I've gotta hear from God. I've gotta hear it. What is, was Brother Hagin just talking, or was God really talking to me that day? Because here I know I have a healing anointing. I know I've been ministering with a healing anointing, but I just don't, is this supposed to be something more? It doesn't look like more. It doesn't look like what I thought it would look like. Come on. And so I'm asking the Lord, I said, I need to hear from you, but I said, I really need to hear from Brother Hagin, because he knows what we talked about, and he would not lead me on. If he says something, I'll know, you know. And so I just asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I need to hear something from Brother Hagin. So we went to this meeting. I'm sitting there in the congregation like you, you know, sitting there in the congregation thinking, Lord, I need to hear something. And then Brother Hagin started ministering to some other people. And I thought, God, I'm sorry I asked for a word. You know how you do? Anybody besides me? Like, Lord, I'm sorry I asked for, I don't need anything special. I'll just do what you tell me to do, right? I don't need to hear something special. And right about that time, Brother Hagin said, Lord, say that again. Say that again. And he said, Annie, come up here. And I went up there. And basically he said this. The Lord said, I've been looking through the body of Christ for a woman who would obey me. I've always had an outstanding woman evangelist. And he said, and the Lord said, now I've sought you. I've been talking to you for 3 years. Is that right? I said, yes, sir. Dad said, I didn't miss it, did I? I said, no, sir. And then he said again, this is what the Lord is saying. An outstanding healing ministry you will have. A ministry that will astound many, and many will be glad. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that was 1994. You know how many years ago that was? 21. So last year, that 20-year crop came up. We've been ministering, you know, along these lines for many years, you know. I mean, just little by little, little by little. Praise the Lord. But last year, the Holy Ghost impressed on us that it's time now really to cash in on this crop. Hallelujah. Amen. Doesn't always look like the way you think it looks. You think it's going to be next week, next month, right? But God's got a time. Hallelujah. I said, God's got a time. Praise the Lord. Kevin and I were ministering with at a meeting, and we're with three other ministers in a hotel room praying before a service. And also, this was also in 1994, we were praying in the service, before a service, and just praying like they did in Acts. Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders would be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. Brother Hagin taught us to pray that way. So we were praying, and all of a sudden, the power of God came in that room and hit me like never before, really. And I was accustomed to a healing anointing in my hands from the times of ministering with Brother Hagin. I believe I can tell these kind of stories here. Amen. So I was accustomed to that healing anointing, feeling it in my hands from the times we ministered with Brother Hagin. So many times that anointing was transferred into my hands. And so there we were in this hotel room. And all of a sudden the power of God hit me, not just in my hands, but it went all the way up my arms. Like I was holding live wire. Some of you may have accidentally come in touch with live wire, and it doesn't feel good. And really, you can't let go. It's like it's got you, not you got it. And that's the way it felt. It had me. And it was so tangible to me. I grabbed Kevin's hand and I said, please tell me you can feel this. And he said, I'm sorry, I can't feel it. Turned to the other minister in the room. I said, please tell me you can feel this. He said, no, I can't feel it either. And so we're standing there, or sitting there on the floor, and I'm holding their hands. And the Lord said to me, he said, up until this time, you've been ministering with an anointing you received by association from Brother Hagin, him laying his hands on your hands. He said, but this one's yours. And when we were praying, I had had this sensation that I was going up out of my body almost, and it kind of frightened me, and so I kind of backed off of it. And the Lord had said, he said, I endeavored to have you come up and receive it like Brother Hagin did his in 1950. He said, but you wouldn't come. He said, so in that case, you had basically received it in your flesh, is why it felt the way it did, kind of between two worlds. But he said, this anointing is yours because I've called you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus, in Luke's gospel, the 4th chapter, said this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. Amen. Jesus had to tell people what to expect. Amen. Otherwise, how would they know to expect to receive anything from him? But he told people what to expect. The Spirit of God is on me because he has anointed me. And so then people came to hear him and to be healed. Amen. In one place it says, as many as touched him were made whole of whatever disease they had. The woman with the issue of blood came in the press behind because she heard. Right? She heard. So that she came in the press behind and said, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be whole. Praise God. Amen. So God always gives us something to expect, doesn't he? Brother Hagin, that ministry, that anointing that he ministered with, the Lord appeared to him in 1950 in a tent meeting in Rockwall, Texas. He went up and the Lord gave him a special healing anointing, put the right hand of his the finger of his right hand in the palm of each one of his hands, and they began to burn like he was holding coals of fire. And Jesus said to him, I've given you a special anointing to minister to the sick. He said, but this anointing will not work unless you tell the people. Tell the people I told you to tell them that I appeared to you, that I put the finger of my right hand in the palm of each one of your hands. And if they'll believe that and will receive that anointing, then that power will go into them, effect a healing and a cure in them. Praise the Lord. So Brother Hagin had to tell that testimony in order for that anointing to work. Amen. And so that's why we tell you about these things. Not to bring attention to ourselves, but to bring attention to the power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And again, these things don't always happen overnight. But as we're faithful, then you see, as we're faithful, then God has something to work with. We're stronger now than we used to be. Amen. Hallelujah. We know his faithfulness. We've proved him faithful. If you were here this morning, you saw several people already receive their healing. Amen. Glory to God. So we want to minister to you this evening by that anointing. With that anointing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That special anointing to minister to you. Praise God. It doesn't matter what it is. Amen. This morning we ministered a little bit by words of knowledge, gifts of healings. But tonight we just want to endeavor to minister to you with that special anointing that we received from the Lord. Amen. There are many ways that God delivers healing power to us. Amen. I said there are many ways that God delivers his healing power to us. You don't have to have hands laid on you. It's not the only way that God does it. Amen. You can simply believe what he said for yourself, like the centurion did. And Jesus called that great faith, and he was pleased by that. Amen. That's the kind of faith that needs no assistance from another human being, which means you can receive from God anywhere you are. Amen. You don't have to be in church. You don't have to be with another believer. You can just believe what he said. If you know his word, you can believe what he said. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. Amen. You can also have another believer lay hands on you. These signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can call for the elders of the church, James said. Is any sick among you? Let him call. Let him call for the elders of the church. They'll anoint him with oil. And the prayer of faith, amen, will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful that we can call for the elders of the church? Amen. And then really, James said, is anybody among you, if you're sick, beyond helping yourself? Sometimes we get to that point. Maybe something has just kind of worn us out. Sometimes sickness and disease can come so suddenly, right? Sometimes it can come so strong, you're worn out. You just need assistance. Thank God he's not withholding and saying, unless you can just believe God all by yourself, you can't get anything. He doesn't do that. He will meet us at every level, at every point. Amen? So you can call for the elders of the church. Hallelujah. Have confidence. Amen? Praise the Lord. Then there are also manifestations of the Spirit. We had some of those this morning. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, tells us that sometimes God reserves the right to just start it himself. Amen. Just to initiate some of those things so that we'll have something to hook up with, something to believe. Amen. But also in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, at the end of the chapter, Paul explains to us that there are ministry gifts in the church, apostles, right? Prophets, teachers. And then he goes on to say, working of miracles, gifts of healings. Praise the Lord. In other words, there are some ministry offices marked by those things. Glory to God. That's where special anointings come in. Praise God. And so that's the way we're going to minister to you tonight. Glory to God. I'm not praying for the sick. We're going to minister God's healing power to you. Amen. Prayer is one way. Right? But this is another way. God's got many ways to get it to us. Why? Because he wants you healed. He wants you healed. He wants to reach out to you. Glory to God. Amen. And he is exalted in this place. We're going to see the supernatural. Amen. We're going to see what we've been praying for. Hallelujah. Amen. We believe every single word. We're standing on those promises tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say this: Jesus is the healer. Jesus is my healer. One way, not the only way, that Jesus heals is through the laying on of hands. I believe that Jesus heals today through the laying on of hands. If you believe with that and you agree with that, say amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you would like to have hands laid on you for healing tonight with that special anointing, praise the Lord. I'm going to invite you to stand.